Right? Right? Tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Our 10-minute speaker is Tiffany H. from El Cajon.
My name is Tiffany H. and I am from El Cajon. And I'd like to welcome all the newcomers. I'm glad that you're here. And Josh, thanks for being the long speaker. This is hard. You know, at first Larry said, would you do it? I said, yeah. And I think 2 weeks ago I called and said, I can't. And, I'm learning in AA that humility is to die of one's will and to try to live the will of God. And the 12 steps says that I'm supposed to give this away. First drink I ever had, I was 17 years old. Went to a college party with some friends. Somebody handed me that drink. And my whole life I was too tall, too skinny, too awkward. And I had that drink. And it wasn't that I became beautiful. It was just that I didn't care. And I loved that feeling. I loved that nothing mattered to me because I was always incredibly emotional, always overly sensitive. And that moment, nothing cared. And the dance floor was probably from here to that wall, and anybody that had a drink in their hand, I took it from them, and I drank all the way to the dance floor. I commenced to get very sick that night, and the friends that I had had throughout high school would no longer speak to me. And that's how I drank. So what happened was that I really couldn't keep any friends, because if you didn't drink like I did, then I didn't have any business being with you. This is rattling. Or I'd straighten up for sufficient reason for a time. I'd get married. I'd had a daughter. I couldn't drink while I was pregnant, so I didn't drink. I had her, didn't know what to do with her. Lost custody of her from a very poor choice I made of shoplifting, and drinking was my solution. And about 28 years old, I lost custody of her permanently. I secretly harbored this self-hate for myself, and anybody who would tell me that they felt that way about me was welcome in my life. Anybody who thought anything that I might become something or be something didn't know my deep, dark secret. Hey, John. And so I couldn't let you in. I've always had this brick wall in front of me, and I bragged about it. I thought that was really neat. I thought anybody come in my life, I was doing you a favor by telling you the truth. I'll never love you. I'll never care about you. Don't get attached. And but what I didn't realize is that I was incredibly attached to alcohol, and I was incredibly attached to outside issues. And the book says job or no job, wife or no wife, none of that mattered to me. I didn't care. If I had it, that was great. If you leave, I don't care. But don't take my bottle. And I really didn't realize that until my now deceased husband and I moved to California to get sober, which I have lived in 9 different states trying to get sober. And in 9 different states, Tiffany always comes, and Tiffany has a problem. And I start drinking again. My husband got arrested here. He was extradited back to Lafayette, Georgia, and I was homeless. And my solution for homelessness was to start drinking and doing drugs. And that would make everything okay. What I didn't realize was that I had lost the ability to go get a job, that I didn't have the courage to pick up the phone and call my parents because they would have told me to give up drinking, and I wasn't about to do that. So I spent 6 or 7 months living in the San Diego River bottom. And that was okay. I really liked it, to be honest with you. I had absolutely no responsibilities. The only thing that I had to worry about was going into Vaughn's. Which store was I going to go to today to steal my bottles? Who was going to want my bottles? And if I was going to share with them or not? And then what I had to steal to support my habit. And life was pretty good. Until I got sick and tired of walking up and down Pacific Beach. And I looked up one day and I thought, good God, if I see another palm tree, I'm going to die. And so I'm a brilliant person. And I got myself arrested on purpose. I will say that I have gone into churches in Pacific Beach and I asked them for help. I asked them for bus tokens. I didn't know what a homeless person could do to help themselves, and they turned me away. So jail was a solution for me. I weighed 122 pounds. I weigh 168 pounds today. I was on death's door. People that I was homeless with would beg me to stop. You're dying. And I thought they were nuts. Man, you're doing this right beside me. But I really am. I have an allergy that has been explained to me that when I drink, something happens to me, and I know it. I won't stop. I don't even think to stop. I don't want to stop. I'm happy. I think I'm happy, and everything's great, and I just want more and more and more. But I'm also the type of drunk that you don't know if I'm going to dance on the table or if I'm going to be crying under the table. And I don't know. There's no way to predict. I could be in the greatest mood, have a great day at work. Let's go to an office party. I'm just going to have one. And the next thing you know, I might want to fight you in the parking lot. I just don't know. So I knew by the time that I got here in 2007 that I needed to be alone. You know, I was hurting people. It didn't matter if you begged me, if you cried, if you fought with me, please don't drink. I had to leave. I had to do what I had to do. And I kept thinking I was stupid. There's something wrong with me. I'm stupid or I'm crazy. I'm losing everything. Before I came here, I worked for the state representative of Georgia. I held a real estate license in Lafayette, or in Georgia and in Tennessee. And I'm homeless in the river bottom. And that was okay. I just can't figure it out. So I get arrested in 2007. I get sober. I find out a place, the YWCA for homeless women. Start getting my life back together. But this whole time I had my little playmate who would be in and out of prison. And the only reason I kept him is I really wasn't interested in being sober. That's the truth. I try your way, and if it worked, that's great. But you know what? He's a lot more fun. And so he'd get out, and I'd wind up back in the bathroom on Pacific Beach, number 4. That was my stall, and that was my apartment. I had a little air-up mattress and stuff. It was cool. And so by 2009, 2 years, almost to the day, I go into Staples. I clip the alarm on a camera, and I set the camera back down, and I walked outside, and I said, I'm going to jail. And I knew that minute my life would change. What I didn't realize is that I was an alcoholic. I just thought I'd quit. I thought I'd had enough. I thought for sure this is enough. Who wants to live this way anymore? I'm done. I go in jail. I talk to a lady named Dr. Dixon. I get a diagnosis. I get medication. And I think that's, man, I've arrived. I don't need AA. I don't need you people. You don't need to know my problems. I'm not going to tell anybody all this crap. I'm going to pop this pill and I'm going to be good. And for about 2 years, I was really, really good. I got an apartment. I have a beautiful dog. I have my own car. You know, I was working a little, going to school. And July 22nd, a friend of mine that I knew from Crash called. I knew she was drinking. I knew she was doing some other stuff. She asked me to come over. And I thought I could control my drinking. I will come over, I'm going to have one, and then I'm going to leave. Because, you know, tomorrow I've got a doctor's appointment, I got all this stuff. Seriously, I'm going to do this. I bought the bottle. She never even got a drink out of it. Within an hour, I had ingested 4 different drugs, and I found myself on the floor. All I remember is seeing my kitchen wall, and then I remember coming to and laughing out loud because I was completely baffled. How did that happen? Seriously, I had the house. I got everything when I was on the streets. I thought if I had that, I will never, ever do this again. And I had it all. So I came into Alcoholics Anonymous at the El Cajon Alano Club. I got the book. I'm pretty smart. Started reading it. Started quoting some stuff, and somebody corrected me right as soon as I got off the podium, and I puffed up and I thought, ha, ha, who are you to correct me? Don't you know who I am? And they showed me my error, and I don't know why, but that intrigued me. somebody actually had something in this program that wasn't BS out of the side of their neck, which I heard so many times since 1998 to 2011, that I was disenamored with this program. I didn't care. You guys were just annoying to me, to be honest with you, and I didn't know what else to do. And this person actually carried their book everywhere. So that minute, I got myself a book, and I carry my book with me everywhere I go. Well, not everywhere. I don't take it to work or anything. But and I got me a sponsor, and she's my best friend today. In 2009, they set a piece of paper in front of me, and it had emotions, happy, sad. I didn't have any. I honestly needed a piece of paper to somewhat tell me what people would feel. I know in sobriety today, I have had my heart jump out of my chest. I feel sorrow because my mother's very, very ill. I have friends that I can confide everything in, and I'm not judged. I was able to tell a lady about my daughter and how I felt about myself, and she met me with compassion. Up to that point, I couldn't tell anybody about it because people would say to me, "What did you do?" Women don't lose custody of their kids. And this one did. And, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, I meet a lot of women who have. And I have a lot of hope for them because they're younger than me. And maybe they won't go the route that I went. And maybe they won't be filled with the anger and discontent that I had. And if there's anything that I could do to help, I'm glad to. I got a girl in my 5:30 a.m. meeting. I grabbed her today and I said, "Who's reading the book with you?" She said, "No one." I said, "Tuesday nights, we're reading the book." Because someone read it with me. And until somebody read the book with me, it was a bunch of words that was telling me, "I know what this means." But I don't. I did not understand that my mind tells me this time will be different. Until someone shared that with me, and I thought, well, good God, after work, I think it's going to be different. When I have my apartment, I think it's going to be different. When I'm hanging out with Julie, it's going to be different. It's going to be fun. You know, if I feel like I'm overweight, I'll get a 20 sack. I'll lose that weight. It'd be great. You know, my brain tells me these things. And the neat thing is I can tell Carrie, and she'll go, "Mine says that too. Tell your brain to shut up." You know, and I can do that today. You know, I ran from my family for many, many years. Is it my time? And I'm close to them today. You know, anyway, if you're a newcomer, please find someone that knows this program because you're worth it. And if you don't know that, we do. My name is Tiffany. I'm an alcoholic. Right on.